This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, a couple of quick ones I want to get to before we get back to this Nebraska story. Kansas coach Bill Self, he was in the news a lot this morning, denied room, according to ESPN, denied rumors that he is planning to retire, telling the Kansas City Star that he remains undecided on his future with the Jayhawks. He said, quote, no news, all BS, bad info. Why does that sound like Donald Trump, President Donald Trump? No news, all BS, bad info. Why did I read it that way? Is that a problem?
That's what I was thinking, too.
I guess he's just quick to getting it out there, man. Okay. No news right now. This is a big one. Hubert Davis, North Carolina's former men's basketball coach, Hubert Davis, was fired by the school, bringing a conclusion to a pretty crazy week after the Tar Heels had a stunning loss to VCU in the first round of the NCAA tournament. The school did not specify the nature of Davis's department in its statement Tuesday night, simply calling it a change in leadership.
Nature was an embarrassing loss.
I guess, but it's like the new, who's going to do bad? It's like that's one of the good coaches, man. It's like my Tad Boyle thing. Now, Tad Boyle's on a different, completely different planet than him, but still, it's like, okay, you fire these guys, who are you going to go get? Couple of interesting ones. I got to get to this NBA story too, but how about Joe Flacco? Joe Flacco says teams are dumb for not signing him to start. He isn't mad about re-signing with the Bengals on a one-year deal, but if it were up to him, he'd be competing for a starting job elsewhere in the NFL. After being traded to the Bengals last season to replace Joe Burrow, who got hurt, he had one of the most productive stretches of his career. Kind of an unlikely run there. But teams ultimately opted to not sign him to compete for a starting job. And he hasn't been shy about that. He said, believe me, I wish I was a guy somewhere. 41-year-old Joe Flacco said. And I think teams are dumb for not having me be that guy. He said, not being one of those guys to go sign somewhere, yeah, it pisses me off a little bit, but at the same time, I'm very happy here. Should Joe Flacco be given more of a realistic shot to go somewhere and compete for a starting job?
In Cleveland, but I mean, elsewhere, I don't know.
I mean, we saw it right here in Denver.
Cleveland
it
and maybe
in
Atlanta.
He has a fascinating career, Mike. He was an amazing starter at one point. He was a Super Bowl winner. It was a glorious career for a while. And then Baltimore goes in a different direction. They drafted Lamar Jackson, and it was a matter of time until they benched Joe Flacco and they start Lamar and completely go. They flipped that offense completely. And since that point, Joe Flacco has been a journeyman quarterback. I mean, even though John Elway told us when he came to Denver that he was in his prime, it was not the case. Joe Flacco, if you remember, lost his job to Drew Locke. He's been on a lot
of
teams.
Some of that was him criticizing the coaching.
He criticized the coaching. I don't mind Joe Flacco. It's just it wasn't a great time for him in Denver. It wasn't great. Then he goes to the Jets. Then he goes to Cleveland. Then he goes to the Colts and back to Cleveland. Then to Cincinnati in the trade. He'll have a great career. Is he still a starting guy? Do you bring him? He's 41 years old. Do you bring him on to start? What he did last year was phenomenal. I just don't know if he's doing that on a regular basis.
I might throw Miami and Las Vegas in the mix. You know, for people that need a quarterback. I mean, the Raiders could sign him. They're going to draft a quarterback.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting thing too. I want to get to that.
Like I would actually sign a guy, have him compete in the preseason. If Flacco loses, If Flacco wins, you're saying, oh, well, we're sitting our rookie down. We want him to, you know, sit down and learn behind our veteran. And, you know, a lot of quarterbacks benefit from that.
Speaking of the quarterback thing, you know, Raiders probably going to go with Fernando Mendoza, right? I don't think there's a lot of doubt there. Have you been seeing the Dan Orlovsky stuff on ESPN? You know, former NFL quarterback. He was the guy that went out in the back of the end zone, but he's pretty prominent figure on ESPN, has a lot of interesting things to say. He is like doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on his thoughts that Ty Simpson is the best quarterback in this draft. Alabama's Ty Simpson over Mendoza, and he's being grilled by Pat McAfee, by his crew on ESPN. I mean, everybody, Dan Patrick, they're grilling the dude, and he keeps coming up with like, well, yeah, but what were their big game? You know, he's basically comparing their big games. Like, when did Fernando Mendoza make all these critical throws? He made a lot of critical throws, man.
He did. And he made that critical run against Miami.
In the biggest moments.
Look, I think
dude, am I wrong? Did Indiana not wax Alabama? Did Alabama only put up 3 points against Indiana? Wasn't it like 30-3?
It was quite a waxing.
I mean,
the melted candle.
That was January 1st. Sometimes you just need to not look very far. Ty Simpson was 12 of 16 for 67 yards in that game. Fernando Mendoza was 14 of 16 for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns. He didn't have to do a lot because they were running all over the place. Okay. Like, Ty Simpson's not a bad quarterback, Mike. But is this so? There's like a conspiracy out there that Dan Orlovsky is somehow being paid or to have this take, or this is just what we talked about yesterday. It's another
ESPN
fabricated argument to get us talking, and it's working.
I think some of the reason why people like Fernando Mendoza is he's just like a really, really likable guy. So he could probably be an okay first-round draft pick, and people would like him more than he actually deserves to be liked. But I think he's the overall first-round guy.
I'm telling you, his throws were – a lot of his throws he made great throws, Mike. But some of those runs he had, those are Josh Allen. That's Josh Allen stuff, what he was doing. Get this. This is a tweet from Robert Griffin III. I follow him. Don't love everything he does, but I love a lot of what he does.
Don't love what he did to the Huskies in the Alamo Bowl.
He said, everyone is allowed to have an opinion on who they think the number one quarterback is in this year's draft. But trying to discredit the fact that nobody made more big-time crunch-time throws than Fernando Mendoza in college football last year or played in bigger games is worse than stepping out of the back of the end zone.
Burn!
But, I mean, how are you going to say the guy that won it all and did it in crazy moments, including against the quarterback of the team you're talking about or the team with the quarterback you're talking about? We don't have to go much further. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I do. I think Ty Simpson's good. I feel like I've seen both of those guys make NFL-type throws. Now, I didn't watch as much of Alabama this year as I probably did Indiana, because that was just a fun freaking story. But I just feel like now Dan's doubling down, and he's like picking apart Fernando Mendoza's game. And that's where RG3 is like saying, dude, you're trying to make your argument, and you're just tearing this guy to shreds. Well, these guys are big-time media figures, man. They continue to go down this route. That road, it could result in a team. I don't think a team's really listening to Dan Orlovsky, but maybe. Or you listen to all the talk around him. Faith texting in. He has some crazy takes sometimes. He gets roasted a lot. He was singing his praises heavily going into the Heisman and the national championship game. Singing Mendoza's praises? Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think he's presenting these. It's not like an MVP conversation between Kendrick Perkins and McNutt or any of that stuff, because we went off on McNutt yesterday, Monica McNutt. This is one of those takes where it's like when he gets cornered, he doesn't really fire back. Because I was watching Pat McAfee had him on the ropes, man, and he kept drilling. He's like, you mean this big game? You mean this big throw in this big game? And you mean this moment here? Here's the highlight here. Here's the highlight here. And I felt like it was fake. Orlovsky would go, and then he just put his head down and almost get pouty. Like, one thing I will say about the four-letter networks take tank is they're not short of words. They usually don't bow down. In fact, I don't really recall a lot of times where they just stop. And it feels like he is. I just don't know that he really believes in what he's saying. I don't know. Oh, gosh. Eastside Chris. Michael, it appears Bill has self-imposed a gag order on his future. This is your fault. That's good, actually. That's actually pretty good. But yeah, Big Hub says, who else would the Raiders get if not Mendoza? I mean, that's the only shot for him, because they don't need a running back, right? They're not going to double down. They drafted Boise State stud last year, Genty. They're not going to draft Jeremiah Love, are they?
I hope they do.
I mean, he's a beast. I don't want the Broncos to have to worry about that dude.
I want the Raiders to continue to draft terribly.
I mean, as far as like the rankings and the players in the draft this year, I mean, there's a lot of guys that could make, or three or four guys that could make the case that they're the better player, respectively, toward their position, like Arvell Reese, the linebacker for the Buckeyes, or they got a safety in there too. Caleb Downs, he's good. He's great. Jeremiah Love, the running back out of Notre Dame. That's how we say it, Mike. Please.
Notre Dame is in France.
Same place, same thing. Named
Notre
after
Dame
each other.
Notre Dame is in Indiana.
No, this was named after that one, though. Go look it up.
This is America.
Yeah, look it up.
We don't speak frog. It's Notre Dame.
Frog.
That's what the French people speak. They speak frog.
Frog. Is that how they say it? They say frog. I don't know. They always roll their R's, don't they?
They go ribbit.
No. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. My goodness, how do you people text the show? 888-530-0043. What do you think about this Nebraska thing? Pretty wild. This is what
I hope they lose.
Well, this just goes to show you the rules don't count. These aren't rules. There was one power conference athletic director that said, we didn't get a hard cap on the settlement. We got a soft cap, which means we got no cap. No cap. So is that what kids say? No cap. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what it means either.
No cap, Mike. That's no cap right there.
Hang on. Let me Urban Dictionary it.
What does no cap mean? In this scenario, it means there really is no cap. They say it's $20 million or $22 million, but it's not. Because what's happened here is Nebraska and many other competitors have went out and said, hey, we're going to go out and get third-party deals so that we can go over this. Nebraska and many of its competitors started to rely on business partners such as Playfly Sports to help pay athletes with NIL deals that don't count toward the school's spending cap. Just going out and getting endorsement deals.
No cap means authenticity and truth.
It means not lying is what Big Hub says. Couldn't you just be a real person and say that? Not lying.
No cap.
You no cap. Do we say you're no capping? Or do we just say no cap? No capping. You weren't capping right there, Mike.
Slay.
You weren't capping.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is to text my niece, who's 16, and use one of the young people words and use it wrong.
Did she block you?
I used slay in the past tense. She made me laugh.
She should block your number, probably.
No, she loves me.
Yeah. Well, this is a problem. How do you stop it? Here's the salary cap. Oh, what did I talk about on this show when this happened? Salary cap means nothing. Because all you got to do is go out and say, well, yeah, but we got all of our boosters to throw in another. Like, Ohio State was at $20 million before there was a salary cap. So all they're going to do is just double up. Now we're at $40 million. Great. We'll use the $20 million that we can do now legally. And here it is. And then we'll just go find another $20 million with endorsement deals and NIL deals. And then I said this, like, I'll be curious to see how this one goes. Because how does the CSC say that it's, I mean, how can the CSC come in and say, that's not a legitimate NIL deal? Well, let me talk to the business owner. What did you have him do? Well, he tweeted that he liked how cool we are. He came to an event. He's planning to do a big thing coming up, but we went ahead and contracted him and got it done now. I don't know how you win that. Big Hub, ways to say, no cap, you cap and cap, which means you're lying, stop the cap. Stop the cap, Mike.
Salary cap, no cap.
They were capping about the salary cap. Would you say that?
Word up.
Yeah. And you were capping about how much money you actually gave so-and-so to play for your school.
That's fresh.
Mm-hmm. Of Prince of Bel Air.
Fresh with a PH.
Really?
I don't know what's cool.
No.
I'm just throwing things that I heard in like the 80s and the 90s.
Did we ever have weird sayings in the 90s?
Oh, probably.
Or in the 2000s?
I know there was fat, P-H-A-T.
I know there's a lot of things you probably can't say now. Different times back then.
Yeah, there were some stuff that we said now that you can't say. That at least you can say it, but you shouldn't say it.
The what's up thing was the big deal when I was
When I worked at McDonald's, my friend Jesus and I would yell, ¿Qué pasa?
Wait, you had another friend outside of Jimmy? How does Jimmy feel about Jesus?
Yeah, he was cool.
Was Jimmy a little jealous?
Sorry, what?
Was Jimmy a little jealous of Jesus?
I had lost contact with Jimmy when I was working at McDonald's.
Oh, okay. And you replaced Jimmy. Jesus was the replacement for Jimmy.
No, the replacement for Jimmy was Charlie.
Okay. We haven't heard about Charlie.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you grin like that? What's going on with Charlie?
Well, I feel like I'm being ridiculed. No cap.
No. People want to know.
Did
about
I use no
Jimmy?
Cap right?
You're not lying about feeling ridiculed. No, I would imagine so. Faith says I didn't have enough info to find Jimmy or Charlie or Jesus. Apparently,
Charlie is too hard to find. But I know my friend Richard.
Charlie...
I know where he is. I'm Facebook friends with him.
Who?
My friend Richard.
We have four now.
Yes.
And we can find Richard.
Yeah, yeah. We're Facebook friends, but I haven't like.
Charlie seems interesting because when you said Charlie, you can't find. You just quickly
He's got a very common last name.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was like a
like
secret
Shaw
agent or
isn't
something.
Exactly. You know, you're like
what's
there
his
are
last
Shaws
name?
Everywhere.
Oh, it's Charlie Shaw.
Yeah,
that's his name. Be tough to find. I don't know. So just the way you made it almost appear like he was like a bad guy or like a CIA dude or something.
He could have been CIA dude.
Yeah, maybe. You run with a very interesting crowd.
Speaking of McDonald's, I ran into him at McDonald's.
With your scooter?
No, I didn't have a scooter back then.
Oh, you just ran in.
I did walk to work then, though.
Okay, yeah. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. Miles McClarity is going to join me in just a moment. I just realized, did I give him the address? He's been here before. He knows how to get here. So we'll catch up. Safety for the UNC Bears. Great kid. Going to be on with us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You just searched the first song you could come up with that had Miles in it? Is that what you did?
No, I've had this plan for a while.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's had this plan for...
planned out. What?
Miles McClarity is joining us. Junior now?
Yes, sir.
Coming into your junior year?
This is the first semester of my junior year.
First semester. Okay. Yeah, because yeah, I always
get confused. It's all out of whack.
Yeah.
I get confused.
It's you get confused. Oh, my gosh. Miles McClarity, he's a safety for the UNC Bears. Miles is awesome. I don't remember exactly. I reached out to you, right? Mm-hmm. It was at, you know, you have a phenomenal story, and I do kind of want you to, if you can, touch
of
on
course.
That story.
Yes, sir.
You were an amazing high school football player.
I appreciate that.
And obviously, you get some news, and I'll let you tell that news. And your story was just so inspiring. And then, of course, you commit to UNC. They keep rolling with you. I reached out to you mm-hmm. and said, hey, man, would you want to come by and do a podcast with me? We sat back there in that podcast studio, and you blew me away. It was so much fun, and it was cool, all that stuff. And then, like, fast forward a year later, whatever, we start getting, like, this great texter that texts in. She loves our shows, and especially this show. Like, this is her favorite. I guarantee she would tell you that. And it turns out, it's your mom.
It is my mother.
And she is like a diehard. She goes to our events. You came out and hung out with us on Friday for a little bit out at the Eaton Country Club. And that was a lot of fun. And anyway, it's just been this really cool story and this evolution of, you know, just cool relationship building here.
Yeah. She talks about the show all the time. She's like, did you hear this? I'm like, no. I'm like, where'd you hear from? Oh, Brady was talking about it today.
Which means it might be, right? It might not be. Yeah. We don't know for sure just yet, man.
Yeah. But it's weird because, like, when I did the podcast, she wasn't up here yet.
Yeah.
And so she didn't know. And then once she moved up here, she was trying to just get, like, versed in the area and try to hear about local stuff and while still hearing about sports. And she started watching the show. And you got the podcast with Coach Lamb.
Yeah.
So she feels like she's an analyst, an insider. She has the scoop on stuff. So it's nice to talk about things that are going on with the team that I don't necessarily don't think about because it's just my everyday. But she'll hear something, and then she's interested, so we get to talk about that.
Yeah, and Ed is not really a breaking news type of coach. He'll just randomly, halfway through a podcast, be like, oh, yeah, by the way, Eddie Gonzalez is
gone.
And I'm like, you just buried the lead there, man. That's a pretty significant story there.
Yeah. She told me, she texted me, she's like, you see Eddie was leaving? I'm like, Eddie who? She's like, Gonzalez. I'm like, no, I didn't see that. She's like, oh.
Never mind.
Yeah, and then like a week or two went by, and then Coach Eddie broke the news to the team. So she knew before pretty much the whole team, so... I guess she is an analyst. I think Ian Rappaport a little bit.
It's amazing what Coach will give them. Like, I'll ask him before we sit down. I'm like, are there some big agenda items we want to get to with this podcast? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, just whatever, man, whatever. And then halfway through, like, by the way, this coach left and this coach left and this player's gone and whatever. It's amazing. I love it because it's raw. It's not scripted at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The times I listen in, I get to see a sort of different side of Coach Lamb. He's not always business, but you gotta have a sort of professionality when you're around the team. But just to see him talk about just things behind the scenes and stuff. It's interesting.
Miles, you missed the big one, though, on Thursday. You missed the big race.
Did I?
Could have used your help on that, man. Like some stretching advice.
I mean,
I'm still hurting from
it. I mean, you guys look pretty athletic.
Really? That's saying something coming from you, dude.
It surprised me. It did surprise me.
Did I surprise you the most, or did Tanner surprise you the most?
I think Tanner, just because he almost ate it.
Yeah.
But he recovered. A lot of people can't do that.
I thought one of us was going down, which would have probably been better for the situation.
If you started with a 40 start, it might not have ended good.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was worried about, you know. Because I was thinking about getting down and starting it that way, but I was like, what if I spin out right here, man? Yeah. That would be a bad look.
Yeah, especially how Achilles are flying out these days. They're probably for the best.
Oh, yeah, I'm still like, I didn't do a lot of stretching before. Mm-hmm. Tanner was stretching like crazy. He had Icy Hot on before the race started.
He had tights and stuff.
He was ready to go. Yeah. I thought, this will be fine. I've sprinted recently. I chase after my child. I never know what that kid's getting into. But like, turns out a full-on dedicated sprint like that, trying to beat your arch nemesis, is actually going to take a toll on your body.
Yeah, trying to really turn over instead of just, you know, just jogging, sprinting. You don't know that you're sprinting until you have to sprint.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do workouts during a break or when I'm at home. And you never really get the same feel of when you have a whistle and you have someone next to you. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Different kind of soreness, you know, being in game action and stuff compared to training, even though you guys, the training that you go through is pretty, especially with Ed Lamb, what I hear is the weightlifting and all that stuff is second to none.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Before practice on Monday, Coach Lamb is out there by himself doing sideline to sideline sprints by himself.
Just out there.
That's Coach Lamb. I've never met any coach that does something like that.
He's still going. He's still doing that stuff.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a gimmick to try to get people, oh, he works out with the team. And then maybe you'll hear like they do like one bench press or something, but he actually does all this stuff.
Like he did hurt his hamstring like last summer, so he slowed down a little bit, but he still lifts. He runs, like I just said. So, I mean, he's trying to stay active.
Yes, it's incredible. It's got to be kind of cool for you guys too. A little inspirational.
Yeah, like when we do a hard workout and Coach Lamb is right next to us. One, it's like, okay, I can't lose to Coach Lamb. Like,
yeah, right.
Let me pick it up.
Yeah,
and then it's just like if he's doing it, I could do it too. So, it's just it's good to feel like. After games on Sundays, we would have a lift, and we'd do some short striders to move the body and get some blood flowing after a hard game. And even after losses, wins, Coach Lamb is right there next to us.
Yeah.
So that's a good feeling.
Well, and he talks really highly of you, and I told him you were going to be coming on to the podcast today. He was really excited about that. Mm-hmm. Your story, though, you went to Fountain Fort Carson
yes, sir.
High School, and you were just obviously a stud.
Yeah.
You were a stud, and then suddenly you're hit with something that's just crazy. Talk to us about that a little bit.
So, like, my junior year was probably, that was the best year of football I had ever experienced up to that point. Like, it's just... like something flipped in my mind, and I just saw the game way differently. It just slowed down, and I was just able to do things I was never able to do. And then after our last playoff game, the day after, I immediately felt horrible, like nothing I ever felt before. And then it snowballed, and then eventually I got the diagnosis that it was cancer, which it's nothing. It's never something that you like is in the cards. Like you never, I'm sick. I wonder if I have cancer, but, you know, it happened, and it's something I had to deal with, but I think it molded me for the better.
Had you already, and I know we talked about this, but just to rehash it, had you already committed to UNC at that point or not yet?
No, at that point, I had no offers. I just had interests with a couple D1 surrounding Colorado, as well as UNC, but I had no offers at that time.
Did you think at that point, like, you find out you have cancer, I mean, you're thinking of a lot of other things.
Yeah.
At that point, not necessarily whether you're going to play football again. Maybe that was coming up.
Yeah. I think if that never happened, I would have gotten some offers soon. the way coaches were texting me and talking to me. But after that happened, besides Coach Hadley, our DC, I really had no contact with any school. So that was hard just to build my resume. And then just for one little thing to derail that, it just felt like all my hard work had meant nothing. But I'm here now. So.
You're here now. Obviously, what a story too. And now we're all clear. We're good with everything. I know the bell. You got the bell thing.
I got to ring the bell.
How emotional was that, man?
I think as myself as a pretty laid back, nonchalant guy, but like I broke down in tears. I never cry. And like my stepdad asked me, he's like, "You think you're gonna cry?" I was like, "Dude, no, it's just a bell." And then I got up there, and it's like this long, you know, the tunnels when you're a kid playing Little League, and the parents have a tunnels like that. And then I'm walking to the bell, and I see my dad, who lives in Texas, and I see my stepmom, and my other siblings, and I just couldn't keep it together. It took me like 5 minutes to ring the bell, and they were like, "All right, you gotta ring it because we gotta go back to work." So
you're like, kind of I want to let this moment sink in, man.
Yeah, it was just overwhelmingly emotional just to see my family, Coach Lam, my other coaches. It was a great experience.
How long after you got the diagnosis were you able to get back into like playing mode?
It took probably a year and a half to 2 years. Just because I had so many things on top of the cancer. I had a bone infection. I couldn't walk. I had pancreatitis that actually almost killed me. So I was just bedridden for almost 2 years. So it took it took a long time.
And now you're running around out there with other Division I athletes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and,
sir.
And, you know, just talking to Ed Lamb today, like, there's a lot of potential for your playing days at UNC coming up here in the next couple of years.
Yes, sir. I think I've made great strides in the couple years I've been here. I still, if I'm being honest, I still feel like I got a couple more gears, which is understandable. I still have 3 years left to play. But just to see where I started and not even really being able to complete workouts, and now I'm getting through and doing more after – it's just great to look back and see how far I've came.
That's awesome, man. I tell you what, I don't want to blow this clock here. Let's take a quick break. We have Miles McClarity sitting in studio with us, Division I safety for the UNC Bears. Right now, Mike, let's jump over and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
.12:46 the time. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We've got Miles McClarity in studio. Well, dude, when you start talking, I'm like, dude, that voice, man. I mean, is that... I know football is like the main thing right now in school and all that stuff, which it should be. Mm-hmm. But do you think about like what beyond football looks like for you?
Yeah, I want to eventually go to PT school and become a physical therapist.
Nice, yeah.
But like through the years, like I've been told, I could do some sort of broadcasting, radio.
Oh yeah, man! You've got the voice. When you have a voice like that, you can do pretty much. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there for you.
I mean, it's definitely something I can like. I'm considering if the opportunity presents itself and I have the time.
I can see like. I know you're a big sports guy too, not just playing sports, but you pay attention. You're a Colts fan too, right? Big time Colts. Which the Colts, like, we have no hate toward the Colts or anything, so that's good at least. And Michael will be okay back there. But yeah, I could totally see, like, you know, whether it's doing sports takes or PA stuff or like that late night radio stuff where it's like the smooth, you know, you're listening to one, whatever it is, 103.1. Yeah, you would do well in that area too.
I think it. I don't know. I just have to psych myself into it. I feel like I stutter a lot, but
so far so good, man. I haven't heard any of that. Yeah, I mean,
I've been trying not to.
You're breezing right through this. Michael struggles at least 14 times per segment, so we're doing pretty good.
What do you mean?
Okay, no, let's not do that, Michael. We have to just correct him once in a while. It's okay. We just move right along. But so what's next, man? You guys got spring ball starting up in like a week, right?
Yeah, April 7th, spring ball starts. I'm excited. It's a little later than most schools, but I think we get to escape all the cold weather. We get to lift a little longer. So I'm really excited. This is going to be my first spring ball that I am able to participate fully.
To all the way go through.
Yeah.
Do you love lifting weights? I mean, you guys all say it. Do you actually love doing it?
I hated it. I never lifted in high school, but I actually love lifting. Like, I lifted this morning with one of my teammates, Jackson Kwame. Yeah, we just went to the rec, got a quick little 45-minute back workout. And I love lifting.
You just love it. Dude, you're looking jacked, man. You're looking jacked, ready to rock and roll.
I appreciate it.
Let's take another break here, and we'll wrap up this hour with Miles McClarity, safety for the UNC Bears. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Jones. Take a quick break.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
He said, Chris says, hey, yeah, no ums and ahs, nothing like that. No mans or anything. You're doing great with this.
I appreciate it.
Now you're going to be inside your head, though. You're starting to get criticism.
Yeah.
No, you're doing a great job. Miles is going to stick with us here as we jump into the 1 o'clock hour. Coming up later on in the show, we'll have Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Big night last night. The Nuggets win. The Avs win. Are you a Nuggets guy at all? You getting into the Nuggets,
not,
Miles?
I'm a Clippers fan, but I did watch the game. Thought they were going to lose it at the buzzer, but
last night was that was a big one for the Nuggets to win because the Suns are on that play-in cusp right now, and it's, you know, that was one where it should keep the Nuggets at least out of the play-in. So we'll take a look at that coming up next. We got the whole show pressure cooker. Miles is going to stick with us coming up next. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.